The Great Steward, translated by Bhikkhu Sujato. First section for recitation. So I have heard. At one time the Buddha was staying near Rajagaha on the Vulture's Peak Mountain. Then, late at night, the fairy Panyachasika, lighting up the entire Vulture's Peak, went up to the Buddha, bowed, stood to one side and said to him, Sir, I would tell you of what I heard and learned directly from the gods of the 33. Tell me, Panyachasika, said the Buddha. Sir, it was more than a few days ago, on the 15th day Sabbath, on the full moon day at the invitation to admonish, held at the end of the rainy season, when all the gods of the 33 were sitting together in the Hall of Justice. A large assembly of gods was sitting all around, and the four great kings were there. The great king Dhatarattha was seated to the east, facing west, in front of his gods. The great king Wirulhakka was seated to the south, facing north, in front of his gods. The great king Wirupakka was seated to the west, facing east, in front of his gods. The great king Wesawana was seated to the north, facing south, in front of his gods. When the gods of the 33 have a gathering like this, that is how they are seated. After that come our seats. Sir, those gods who had been recently reborn in the company of the 33, after leading the spiritual life under the Buddha, outshine the other gods in beauty and glory. The gods of the 33 were uplifted and overjoyed at that, full of rapture and happiness, saying, The heavenly hosts swell while the demon hosts dwindle. Seeing the joy of those gods, Sakka, Lord of Gods, celebrated with these verses. The gods rejoice, the 33 with their Lord, revering the Realized One and the natural excellence of the teaching. And seeing the new gods so beautiful and glorious, who have come here after leading the spiritual life under the Buddha. They outshine the others in beauty, glory, and lifespan. Here are the distinguished disciples of He whose wisdom is vast. Seeing this, they delight, the 33 with their Lord, revering the Realized One and the natural excellence of the teaching. The gods of the 33 were even more uplifted and overjoyed at that, full of rapture and happiness, saying, The heavenly hosts swell while the demon hosts dwindle. Seeing the joy of those gods, Sakka, Lord of Gods, addressed them, Gentlemen, would you like to hear 8 genuine praises of the Buddha? Indeed we would, sir. Then Sakka proffered these 8 genuine praises of the Buddha. What do the good gods of the 33 think about how much the Buddha has acted for the welfare and happiness of the people, out of compassion for the world, for the benefit, welfare and happiness of gods and humans? I don't see any teacher, past or present, who has such compassion for the world apart from the Buddha. Also, the Buddha has explained the teaching well, visible in this very life, immediately effective, inviting inspection, relevant, so that sensible people can know it for themselves. I don't see any teacher, past or present, who explains such a relevant teaching apart from the Buddha. Also, the Buddha has clearly described what is skillful and what is unskillful, what is blameworthy and what is blameless, what should be cultivated and what should not be cultivated, what is inferior and what is superior, and what is on the side of dark and the side of bright. I don't see any teacher, past or present, who so clearly describes all these things apart from the Buddha. Also, the Buddha has clearly described the practice that leads to extinguishment for his disciples. And extinguishment and the practice come together as the waters of the Ganges come together and converge with the waters of the Yamuna. I don't see any teacher, past or present, who so clearly describes the practice that leads to extinguishment for his disciples, apart from the Buddha. Also, possessions and popularity have accrued to the Buddha, so much that you'd think it would thrill even the aristocrats. but he takes his food free of vanity. I don't see any teacher, past or present, who takes their food so free of vanity, apart from the Buddha. Also, the Buddha has gained companions, both trainees who are practicing and those with defilements ended who have completed their journey. The Buddha is committed to the joy of solitude, but doesn't send them away. I don't see any teacher, past or present, so committed to the joy of solitude, apart from the Buddha. Also, the Buddha does as he says, and says as he does, thus. He does as he says as he does. I don't see any teacher, past or present, who so practices in line with the teaching, apart from the Buddha. Also, the Buddha has gone beyond doubt and got rid of indecision. He has achieved all he wished for regarding the fundamental purpose of the spiritual life. I don't see any teacher, past or present, who has achieved these things apart from the Buddha. These are the 8 genuine praises of the Buddha proffered by Sakka. Hearing them, the gods of the 33 were even more uplifted and overjoyed. Then some gods thought, if only 4 fully awakened Buddhas might arise in the world and teach the Dhamma, just like the Blessed One, that would be for the welfare and happiness of the people, out of compassion for the world, for the benefit, welfare and happiness of gods and humans. Other gods thought, let alone 4 fully awakened Buddhas, if only 3 fully awakened Buddhas, or 2 fully awakened Buddhas might arise in the world and teach the Dhamma, just like the Blessed One. That would be for the welfare and happiness of the people, out of compassion for the world, for the benefit, welfare and happiness of gods and humans. When they said this, Sakka said, it's impossible, gentlemen, for 2 perfected ones, fully awakened Buddhas, to arise in the same solar system at the same time. May that Blessed One be healthy and well, and remain with us for a long time. That would be for the welfare and happiness of the people, out of compassion for the world, for the benefit, welfare and happiness of gods and humans. Then the gods of the 33, having considered and deliberated on the matter for which they were seated together in the Hall of Justice, advised and instructed the 4 great kings on the subject, and each stood at their own seat without departing. The kings were instructed and heeded good advice. With clear and peaceful minds, they stood by their own seats. Then in the northern quarter a magnificent light arose and radiance appeared, surpassing the glory of the gods. Then Sakka, Lord of Gods, addressed the gods of the 33. As indicated by the signs, light arising and radiance appearing, Brahma will appear. For this is the precursor for the appearance of Brahma, namely light arising and radiance appearing. As indicated by the signs, Brahma will appear. For this is the sign of Brahma, a light vast and great. Then the gods of the 33 sat in their own seats, saying, we shall find out what has caused that light, and having realized it, we shall go to it. And the 4 great kings did likewise. Hearing that, the gods of the 33 agreed in unison, we shall find out what has caused that light, and having realized it, we shall go to it. When Brahma Sanan Kumara appears to the gods of the 33, he does so after manifesting in a solid corporeal form, for the gods of the 33 aren't able to see a Brahma's normal appearance. When Brahma Sanan Kumara appears to the gods of the 33, he outshines the other gods in beauty and glory, as a golden statue outshines the human form. When Brahma Sanan Kumara appears to the gods of the 33, not a single god in that assembly greets him by bowing down, or rising up, or inviting him to a seat. They all sit silently on their couches, with their joined palms raised, thinking, now Brahma Sanan Kumara will sit on the couch of whatever god he chooses. And the god on whose couch Brahma sits is overjoyed and brimming with happiness, like a king on the day of his coronation. Seeing the joy of those gods, Brahma Sanan Kumara celebrated with these verses. The gods rejoice the 33 with their Lord, revering the realized one and the natural excellence of the teaching. And seeing the new gods, so beautiful and glorious, who have come here after leading the spiritual life under the Buddha. They outshine the others in beauty, glory and lifespan. Here are the distinguished disciples of he whose wisdom is vast. Seeing this, they delight, the 33 with their Lord, revering the realized one and the natural excellence of the teaching. That is the topic on which Brahma Sanan Kumara spoke. And while he was speaking on that topic, his voice had 8 qualities. It was clear, comprehensible, charming, audible, rounded, undistorted, deep, and resonant. He makes sure his voice is intelligible as far as the assembly goes, but it doesn't extend outside the assembly. When someone has a voice like this, they're said to have the voice of Brahma. Then the gods of the 33 said to Brahma Sanan Kumara, "Good, great Brahma, knowing this, we rejoice." And there are the 8 genuine praises of the Buddha spoken by Sakka. Knowing them too, we rejoice. Then Brahma said to Sakka, "It would be good, Lord of Gods, if I could also hear the 8 genuine praises of the Buddha." Saying, "Yes, great Brahma," Sakka repeated the 8 genuine praises for him. Hearing them, Brahma Sanan Kumara was uplifted and overjoyed, full of rapture and happiness. Then Brahma Sanan Kumara manifested in a solid corporeal form, taking on the appearance of the youth Panyachasika, and appeared to the gods of the 33. Rising into the air, he sat cross-legged in the sky, like a strong man might sit cross-legged on a well-appointed couch or on level ground. There he addressed the gods of the 33. "What do the gods of the 33 think about the extent of the Buddha's great wisdom? Once upon a time there was a king named Disampati. He had a Brahmin high priest named the Steward. Disampati's son was the prince named Renu, while the steward's son was the student named Jyotipala. There were Renu the prince, Jyotipala the student, and 6 other aristocrats. These 8 became friends. In due course, the Brahmin steward passed away. At his passing, King Disampati lamented, 'At a time when I have relinquished all my duties to the Brahmin steward and amused myself, supplied and provided with the 5 kinds of sensual stimulation, he passes away.' When he said this, Prince Renu said to him, 'Sire, don't lament too much at the steward's passing. He has a son named Jyotipala, who is even more astute and expert than his father. He should manage the affairs that were managed by his father.' 'Is that so, my prince?' 'Yes, sire.' So King Disampati addressed one of his men, 'Please, mister, go to the student Jyotipala and say to him, Best wishes, Jyotipala. You are summoned by King Disampati. He wants to see you.' 'Yes, your majesty,' replied that man, and did as he was asked. Then Jyotipala went to the king and exchanged greetings with him. When the greetings and polite conversation were over, he sat down to one side, and the king said to him, 'May you, Jyotipala, manage my affairs. Please don't turn me down. I shall appoint you to your father's position and anoint you as steward.' 'Yes, sir,' replied Jyotipala. So the king anointed him as steward and appointed him to his father's position. After his appointment, the steward Jyotipala managed both the affairs that his father had managed and other affairs that his father had not managed. He organized both the works that his father had organized and other works that his father had not organized. When people noticed this, they said, 'The Brahmin is indeed a steward, a great steward.' And that's how the student Jyotipala came to be known as the great steward. Then the great steward went to the 6 aristocrats and said, 'King Disampati is old, elderly and senior, advanced in years and has reached the final stage of life. Who knows how long he has to live? It's likely that when he passes away, the kingmakers will anoint Prince Renu as king. Come, sirs, go to Prince Renu and say, Prince Renu, we are your friends, dear, beloved, and cherished. We have shared your joys and sorrows. King Disampati is old, elderly and senior, advanced in years, and has reached the final stage of life. Who knows how long he has to live? It's likely that when he passes away, the kingmakers will anoint you as king. If you should gain kingship, share it with us. Yes, sir, replied the six aristocrats. They went to Prince Renu and put the proposal to him. The prince replied, Who else, sirs, in my realm ought to prosper if not you? If I gain kingship, I will share it with you all. In due course, King Disampati passed away. At his passing, the kingmakers anointed Prince Renu as king. But after being anointed, King Renu amused himself, supplied and provided with the five kinds of sensual stimulation. Then the great steward went to the six aristocrats and said, King Disampati has passed away, but after being anointed, King Renu amused himself, supplied and provided with the five kinds of sensual stimulation. Who knows the intoxicating power of sensual pleasures? Come, sirs, go to Prince Renu and say, Sir, King Disampati has passed away, and you have been anointed as king. Do you remember what you said? Yes, sir, replied the six aristocrats. They went to Prince Renu and said, Sir, King Disampati has passed away, and you have been anointed as king. Do you remember what you said? I remember, sirs. Who is able to neatly divide into seven equal parts this great land, so broad in the north and narrow as the front of a cart in the south? Who else, sir, if not the great steward? So King Renu addressed one of his men, Please, mister, go to the Brahmin great steward and say that King Renu summons him. Yes, your majesty, replied that man, and did as he was asked. Then the great steward went to the king and exchanged greetings with him. When the greetings and polite conversation were over, he sat down to one side, and the king said to him, Come, let the good steward neatly divide into seven equal parts this great land, so broad in the north and narrow as the front of a cart in the south. Yes, sir, replied the great steward, and did as he was asked. All were set up, like the fronts of carts, with King Renu's nation in the centre. Dantapura for the Kalingas, Potana for the Asakas, Mahisati for the Awantis, Raruka for the Sawiras, Mithila for the Widahas, Kampa was made for the Angas, and Varanasi for the Kasis. These were laid out by the steward. Then those six aristocrats were delighted with their respective gains, having achieved all they wished for. We have received exactly what we wanted, what we wished for, what we desired, what we yearned for. Satapu and Brahmadatta, Vesapu and Bharata, Renu and the two Dataratas, these are the seven Bharatas. End of first section for recitation.